Well, tonight we have a very important topic to deal with, and that of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, headquartered in Brooklyn, New York, which is often referred to as Jehovah's Witnesses. I put this first slide up here because this is often the reaction of many Christians when Jehovah's Witnesses knock at their front door. Oftentimes, we're like the Blob family at home, and we see Jehovah's Witnesses knocking at the door, and we say, quick, everybody act like beanbag chairs. Well, hopefully after this evening, you will not feel like a beanbag chair when Jehovah's Witnesses come. But you will realize that they are the mission field at our front doorstep. And tonight we want to learn how, in a very loving way, we can effectively share our faith with friends and neighbors or people who knock at our door who may be involved in the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Most of you are probably familiar through their two major magazines, both the Watchtower and Awake magazine. The Watchtower, they publish over 19 million copies every 2 weeks in some 125 languages of the world. The Awake magazine, they publish over 16 million copies every 2 weeks in some 80 languages of the world. In fact, Jehovah's Witnesses print more literature in 6 months than the combined presses of all of Christendom do in an entire year. And through this mass literature distribution, they are active in 212 countries of the world. And according to their own statistics, their 5 million members last year put in over 900 million hours of door-to-door evangelism selling Watchtower magazines around the world. And we need to know how, in a loving way, we can effectively share our faith with them when they come to our front door. I want to just first give you a little background as to how the Watchtower began, and then look at its teachings, what do they teach and believe, and then how do we share our faith with them. Just to give you a little historical background, the Watchtower was begun by a man named Charles Taze Russell. Russell grew up in Pennsylvania in a congregational church. But as he grew up, he says there were certain things that he did not like in the Bible. Russell said he did not like the teaching of the Trinity. He said it was not rational. He could not understand it. He said he did not like the teaching of hell or God's judgment. And so Russell, the founding father of the Watchtower, began to develop his own man-made theology, which he began to publish in the Watchtower magazine in 1879. He then incorporated the organization in 1884 and moved their headquarters to where they are today in Brooklyn, New York, in 1909. Now, as we're going to see tonight, Russell was the founding father of Watchtower theology. He was also famous for his many prophecies as the Watchtower has been throughout the years. In fact, early on in his ministry, Russell had concluded that based upon the dimensions of the Great Pyramid in Giza, Egypt, he had concluded that this was a sign from God that the second coming of Jesus Christ would occur in 1874. And for many years, he prophesied that 1874 would be the visible return of Christ to this earth. And Russell, who was heavy into pyramidology and Egyptology, when that did not occur, he reworked the dimensions of the Great Pyramid and came to the conclusion that 1914 would actually be the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Well, 1914 came and went, and Jesus Christ did not show up. And that is why Russell then redefined the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he said Christ had returned invisibly as a spirit in 1914 to Brooklyn, New York, to head up the Watchtower Society. Well, he died in 1916, having been proven to be a false prophet. It's interesting that these are some pictures a friend took for me a few years back of Russell's gravestone. It's a pyramid, a fitting symbol of his false prophecies based upon pyramidology, and was proven to be a false prophet. Well, the organization was then taken over by a very dynamic leader, a man named Joseph Franklin Rutherford. And it was under Rutherford's leadership that the Watchtower was built into a tight theocratic organization. Now, if you ever talk to Jehovah's Witnesses, you know that they claim to be the theocratic kingdom of God on earth. Now, what they mean by that is a theocracy is a government ruled by God. And Jehovah's Witnesses believe that they are God's government on earth, that all other governments are satanic, and only the Watchtower, they say, is the true government of God, the theocratic kingdom. You see, this is why a Jehovah's Witness, folks, will never salute the flag. A Jehovah's Witness will never say the Pledge of Allegiance. He will never sing the national anthem. A Jehovah's Witness will never serve in the armed forces of any nation because they believe that all governments are satanic and only the Watchtower, they say, is the true government of God, the theocratic kingdom. It is also under Rutherford's leadership that in 1931, they changed their name to Jehovah's Witnesses. Prior to this, they had been known as the Don Bible Students or Russellites. But in 1931, they took the name Jehovah's Witnesses, seeking, he said, to vindicate the name of Jehovah, that Jesus Christ was not God, the Holy Spirit, he said, was not God, that only Jehovah was God. Now, that term Jehovah, we really have no problems with. Actually, it was an Old Testament identification for God. Actually, the Jews never pronounced the name of God. We do not know how it was pronounced. And when the Jews would write the name of God in Hebrew, they would spell it YHWH. In Hebrew, there are no vowels, only consonants. And if you ever did pronounce it, most likely it would have been Yahweh, but they have anglicized it as Jehovah, referring to this Old Testament identification for God we find about 4,000 times in the Old Testament. In our English Bibles, we translate the word capital L-O-R-D. But Rutherford was also famous for his many prophecies. And in fact, he prophesied that the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he said, were going to return in 1925 to help rule the theocratic kingdom on earth. And he was so sure of this, he built a large palatial mansion called Besharim in San Diego, California, overlooking the Pacific Ocean for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to live in when they return. Well, 1925 came and went, and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob never showed up. And he waited 4 years, and finally he moved in 1929 into the mansion himself there in San Diego overlooking the Pacific. And that is where he lived through the Great Depression of the 1930s, also having been proven to be a false prophet.